First reading is John 14, 1 through 6, with the New American Standard Bible. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The second reading, 2 Timothy 4, 6-8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing.
You may be seated.
So we're continuing. I thought this was going to be the last one on Are You Ready for the Return of Jesus? But I think there's going to be one more. And then we're going to go to the book of James, which I'm looking forward to. But let's start with prayer. More than anything, God, I just really pray you would prick our hearts. That we would be challenged to live more eternally focused than the here and now. That our desire and our hunger would to follow you, knowing that we're going to spend eternity with you. So God, I just pray that you would prepare our hearts and speak to us individually. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, have you ever thought what life would be like if there was no eternity? For me, right away, there's so many thoughts that race through my mind at that question. Because part, if there's no eternity, then what's the purpose of life? Hey, I can live my life however I want. It doesn't matter. You live and you die. But there's so many other thoughts with that too, because there's no hope for a better life. If your life is really bad here, it doesn't get any better. It just ends. The whole thought of eternity, it matters. It gives you a reason to live. I've often thought about there's no way I could be an atheist. Because I thought, if I'm an atheist, if I have a bad day, why not kill myself? Because it doesn't matter. And I feel like we're seeing the repercussions of that in our culture, that life is not a gift. It's just something, and so we can end life, it's no big deal. But if there's eternity, it matters. The scriptures tell us that when we die, our life continues for eternity. And it's either heaven, eternity with God, or hell. Eternally separated from God, eternal damnation. And thus, how we live our lives matters. And so, the question that immediately comes to my mind then is, do we live our lives in the light of eternity? Or do we live our lives more concerned with the here and now? Truthfully, I find myself more preoccupied with the here and now, for I want to please God in everything I do and how I live my life. But there's that battle. I want to live my life for me. It's not the battle I'm so concerned about, because we all battle with the sinful flesh that opposes the things of God. But it's that lack of focus on eternity. Where is my home? Is it here or is it in heaven? And it should matter. It should make how I live my life, it should affect my direction and how I live. And so this has been a very difficult sermon for me. I feel like I need it more than anyone, because I can only lead as deep as I am in the Lord, and this is the area God's been getting. But I love how he already begins challenging me before I get to the sermon, I even know the sermon coming. It might be a month out, but he already started working on me 2 months ago. Because it's like, I want to be more eternally focused. And the one answer I can't deny or couldn't deny is to be more intentionally in following Jesus than being more comfortable with the life I want. Jesus said, never promised this would be an easy life. In fact, when you look at him, what he described as a disciple of his is someone who denied himself, picks up his cross, and follows him. I don't know where I fit in that, other than surrendering my will to him. And so there's a quote in Gladiator. I don't know how many of you have seen it. But there's in the opening scene, the lead character, Maximus, says something that... That's why I like the movie. The rest of the movie, it's okay. But that one line just kind of pricks my heart every time. And basically, this is what he said. What we do in this life echoes in eternity. Do we live that way? If I truly love God, shouldn't that be what I desire most? Do I live my life? Does this glorify God? Does this matter in eternity versus I want to be comfortable. I want this. I want that. And I think Jesus is, when you read the scriptures, he's always challenging us to focus on God, to focus on eternity. In Matthew 10, 37 through 39, Jesus is really putting it in a hard way. But this is what he says. If you love your father more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come, and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and if need be, suffering, or perhaps dying because of faith in me, is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life in this world will eventually lose it through death. And whoever loses his life in this world for my sake will find it. That is life with me for all of eternity. So there's a question, do the people and things I put before completely surrendering to Jesus really matter in the light of eternity? How often there's that, I'll be happy when? If I get this or if this happens, does it really matter in the light of eternity? And do I love something more than Jesus? I don't know. I'm asking the question. And maybe another question to ask. Will the blank, the new car, the new thing, or whatever I desire matter in heaven? It isn't the thing that's the issue, but where do I find my pleasure? Is it the here and now, or is it in eternity? Where am I investing? So here are some scriptures just about treasuring heaven, keeping our focus on heaven. Luke 12, 33 and 34. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it gives the Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up a treasure for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven will never get old or develop holes. Your treasures will be safe. No thief can steal it. No moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there your desires of your heart will also be. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. You've been raised to life in Christ. Now set your heart on what is in heaven, where Christ rules at God's right side. Think about what's up there, not about what's here on earth. Luke 9:25. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world and you yourself are lost or destroyed? And last one, 1 Timothy 6:18-19. Command that they do good, that they be rich in good works, generous, willing to share, laying up a store in store for themselves, a good foundation for the coming age, so that they may take a hold of eternal life. Do we live that way? The one that, truthfully, that 2 months ago, God's been working me at, is like, am I willing to give up everything and sell and give it away and trust him? Don't know where that's going to lead, but send the word. Many years ago, my uncle, his pastor rode with him in the combine as he was harvesting corn, and the pastor posed the question of just saying, Jerry, are you willing to give one of your farms up and give it to the poor? At that time, my uncle was religious, but he was not a Christian, so the pastor was conveniently thrown out of the combine, and my uncle was angry, but the Holy Spirit began to convict him, and through it, he realized that he was amassing a worldly empire, but not an eternal one. And through it, my uncle came to know the Lord. His life began to be radically changed. I mean, he was Lutheran, but he didn't know Jesus. And he started a foundation. And some of his farms are going into that foundation to help the poor. When he first started off, he was helping an orphanage in Africa. And he would go there and help them how to raise crops. But that orphanage alone was feeding 7,000 orphans a day. He's not the same person he was. And so I want to say, let me make this a little bit more challenging and personal for you. What if the Holy Spirit began to convict you or prompt you that you're supposed to give up half of your retirement fund and give it to the poor? And when you're arguing with him, all he says is, trust me. Will you? Where do you find your security and where do you find your treasure? I'm just asking the question. But how often we don't want to go there? And where do we find, is our security in heaven or is it here on earth? So why do you think we struggle with this? I think 1 John 2:5-7 gives us some clarity because it says, do not love this world or the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world only offers a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride for our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father. They are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. Anyone who does what pleases the Father will live forever. And so, reading that, there's that question, do I love the world more than God? And I want to say that's a question for all of us. And that's a question we have to go before God and say, do I? And then when he reveals, I'm sorry, there's times when God convicts me or reveals something, I'm like, I don't want to give it up. But that's when I know, okay, God, then change my heart that I'm willing to give it up. God doesn't force us. That's what I love about him. He'll convict us, but then we have a choice. But I need his grace to choose to follow him versus me wanting to be God. The second question is, what are the things I crave? Are they about what pleases you or pleases God? And material things aren't bad. There's not sin in what we own. But how often we put them before our love for God. And so that the cravings lead to a question, are we content with what we have? Or are we always looking for more? It reveals something deeper. And do you feel like you need them to be happy with your life here on earth? Oh, let's make it more personal. We're all aging. Okay, some of you are lucky and you're young, you don't have to worry about this. But the majority here, our bodies are falling apart. And it's not fun. But is your health more important than following God? When you are hurting when you wake up in the morning, are you still able to praise God and thank Him? Or are you going, God, just heal me, I hate this life? And then the last question, if I look at 1 John 2, what are the things you're proud of? Do you give glory to God for those things or to yourself? The things that you own, the things that have been given. Do you go, I did this? Or do you give glory to God? Just your gifts. Each of us have certain gifts. Do we become our own, look at me? Or do we give glory to God? I love how John continues by saying that the world and its things are fading away, but the one who pleases God will live forever. And so do we put our hope in a world that is fading away or in heaven that is everlasting? So in doing this sermon, I've been wrestling with this for 2 months at least. My whole question is, how do I have a mindset that's focused on eternity versus the here and now? I think there's always going to be a battle, but I think the more there's a mindset and there's more intentionality, I think it changes us. So I'm not saying I have the answers here, but I came up with 4 things. And so the first one is to remember our time on earth is like a blink of an eye compared to eternity. It's like this. It's done. And how often in our suffering, it feels like forever. But it's truly a blinking of an eye. And so do the things that cause me to worry matter in the light of eternity? They're going to end. And they're going to blend end like that. And so here are some verses about the brevity of our life here on earth. Psalms 103, 15 through 16. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows, we are gone, as though we had never been here. 1 Chronicles 29, 15. We are here for only a moment, visitors and strangers in the land, as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. And the last one is James 4, 13 and 14. Some of you will say, today or tomorrow we will go to some city. We will stay there for a year, do business, and make money. Do you not know what will happen tomorrow? Your life is like a mist. You can see it for a short time, and then it goes away. And so do we live each day with heaven in mind? In the light that there is so short. When I was thinking about this, how it's so important that we keep things in perspective. So, one thing I learned long ago, and I don't know if I've learned it well, but after my accident and multiple times in the hospital and things thereafter, there's pain. And there's pains after surgery. There's pain when you have a severe accident. Mine was a spinal cord injury, and that took a long time. There were days it was just really struggling. Is this ever going to end? And that was one thing I began doing by the grace of God, is saying, this will end. I'm one day closer to heaven. one day closer to eternity. And that truly helped me. Versus, this is never good. If I go down that road, it's never going to end. I know where that leads. It leads to depression. It leads to hopelessness. But one day, it's whether it's here on earth or it's going to end, it's going to end in heaven where there is no more pain, there is no more suffering, there is no more depression, there's utter joy. Okay, put it in perspective. If our life's like a vapor, it's going to end. It doesn't feel slow, but compared to eternity, it's so quick. And number two, live to do God's will above our own. And say, we're so more focused on our wants and desires. And the more we're dissatisfied, we become when life doesn't go our way. And I really want to say, when that time happens, it really is, I become God instead of Jesus. Because there's a point to be content in all things. And just to be able to focus on his will. Who was our example? What it is to live the Christian life? It was Jesus. Why did Jesus come? He repeatedly said it. John 6:38. I have come down to heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. John 4:34. And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. John 8:29. He who sent me is with me, the Father, who has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Are we here for our pleasure? Are we here to do God's will? That is a wrestling that we deal with every day. But I think if we have that in mind, it changes us. Because it's natural. We live in a fallen world. We live battling sinful flesh to forget that. But what happens if you remind yourself each day, I'm here to do God's will? To even pray, God, I want to know and do your will today. And then thirdly, remind yourself that what you do on earth will affect your eternity. We will either spend eternity in heaven or hell. There's no other options. I'm sorry, but those for you that are hoping for purgatory, it's not real. It's interesting in the Catholic Catechism, there's about one paragraph on purgatory. It's still in there. I'm kind of scratching my head going, why is it there? But it's a very short part, and they don't explain it. There is no purgatory. There is no point that if you get good enough, you get to go to heaven. If you weren't quite enough, no. This is a one-time deal, people. So, because we do not enter heaven with our works. The only way we enter heaven is because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Period. And how does that happen? It happens through what Jesus did on the cross and because of his grace. It's kind of like Mark Beckler gave me a book called Done. And it was basically, it's a done deal. Once you put your faith in Jesus Christ, it's done. You can't earn it. We need to remember that. And without faith in Jesus, we're going to go to hell. And going to hell is not what God desires. That is very clear. Why did Jesus come? To save us. He didn't come to judge the world. He came to save us. He doesn't delight in judgment. It has to happen. That's not his heart. It desires, he says, all men, all people to repent and come to know him. And in the light of Jesus, we cannot forget that we've all sinned and we're dead. We were dead in our sins until we came to know him. Because sin brings judgment unless the debt has been paid. And I'm sorry, our good works do not pay it. Because no matter how hard you try, it's never good enough. And only God himself, Jesus Christ, could fulfill that debt. Can you walk in that? How often we still try to earn it. Mm-mm. But as we come to know Jesus and we know what he's done for us, does it not make sense that in everything we do, we're going to want to please him and live for him if we truly understand what he's paid? And for those who put their faith in Jesus, they will inherit eternal life in heaven. And yet what we do still matters. Why? Because it's about rewards. Okay, I've wrestled with rewards because everything good about right about me is because of Jesus. So getting something that he did, it doesn't feel right. But that whole perspective, if rewards reflect living a life that glorified him, sign me up. I want my life to glorify him and honor him. So yes, rewards matter greatly. For if you love someone, you're going to want to please them. I love my wife. I want to please her. How much more for a God who died for me and saved me and gives me eternal life with him. And yet there's that struggle of wanting eternity and living here on earth. I love what Paul said in Philippians 3, 21 through 23. For me to live in Christ and to die is gain, for I am to live in the flesh. That means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to part and be with Christ, for that is far better. And I think there's that balance as believers. I'm ready to go home when God calls me. But I want to glorify him. To stand in his presence and know my life mattered for him. That should be our heart's desire if we love him. And we also need to remember those who reject Jesus will inherit hell. I fear we have no comprehension of hell. We talk about it. But if we really comprehend it, we should not want anyone to go to it. Hell is the exact opposite of heaven. Okay? When you read the scripture, no one wanted to be there. There was no party going on, people. It's interesting that it talks about the absence of the presence of God. I read a book on near-death experiences, so people who said they died, went to heaven or hell, and came back. No one who claimed to went to hell wanted to stay there. They were all terrified. And they're all pleading with Jesus, take me back. Please take me back. It's interesting that they were so severely traumatized within 3 months, they forgot. Most of them forgot because it was so horrendous. Okay, that's only being like 1 minute in hell. Hell is eternity. Okay, there are some people in this world that, you know, spending a day in hell, be like, okay, this is eternity. I can list people in our political realm, they're like, they're evil. But the idea of them wanting them to go to hell, there's something desperately wrong. Because I want to say, without the grace of God, it's me. I'm sorry. Without the grace of God, I can make Adolf Hitler look good. And some of our political leaders are bordering on that. But we should be on our knees praying that they do not end up there. We should be on our knees praying for our loved ones who do not know Jesus, pleading with God that he would send the Holy Spirit to convict them and grant them repentance. Because this is eternity. This is not even a million years in hell. No, this never ends. And then lastly, that we live each day like it's our last. I don't know about for you, but for me, how often there's a mentality in me that I'm going to die in the future. So there are things I know I need to deal with, but, you know, I'm going to have time to deal with them before that happens. But I don't know the number of my days. It says in God's scripture, he knows. But who am I to live in such a way? And so there's that point. God, help me live each day for you like it's my last. I think if you knew this was your last day on earth, you would live your life totally different than you do now. Would all those things you worry about matter? No. But there's that point I've wrestled with. How do we change our perspective? And there's that point, if this is my last day, do you not want to finish well? I love in 2 Timothy 4, Paul talks about this. He knows he's about ready to die. And he's like, okay, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. And then talks about these eternal rewards like in the scripture reading. But can we say that I fought the good fight, I kept the faith? He didn't say, I arrived in perfection, people. No. But there's that point of he said, I finished well. And that is my prayer. That's my prayer for the last year to 2 years, I would finish well. Statistically speaking, pastors don't overall finish well. A lot of studies will say, up to 2/3 don't finish well. And they say moral failure and burnout. I would add, my bigger fear is complacency. You start going through the motions, but your heart starts to drift away. Because as you know, any job, you begin to know what to do. And if I'm a really good pastor, GBT does a really good job writing the sermon for me. There are pastors who do that. I don't know how the Spirit leads in that, but okay. For each of us following Jesus, it's not a job, it's a relationship. And that means daily pursuing God. And I would still, for each of us, I've seen enough elderly people die who have been in the church all their lives, but they didn't finish well. They started going through the motions. And I think of the church of Ephesus. They did a lot of great things, but the one thing Jesus had against them, they lost their first love. I don't want to stand before Jesus and go, him say, but you didn't love me with your whole heart. So each day I'm praying, God, help me love you with my whole heart. We need to remember heaven is our home. It is our final destination for all those who follow Jesus. And each day we have an opportunity to do God's will and bring him glory or live for ourselves. Having the right perspective matters. Will the disappointments in your life matter when you get to heaven? Well, often, the past bothers us, but does it matter when we get to heaven? It isn't going to matter. And will you regret not living for him more while you were here on earth? Or to be sad when you're in heaven that it wasn't your best life now? No. When we get to heaven, it's going to be overwhelming. We're going to be in the presence of God, in his glory. We're going to be overwhelmed with his love. To say it's going to be blissful would be an understatement. I love when you read about the near-death experiences. They all say, I didn't want to come back, but Jesus told me I had to go back. But they said, what I thought gives them validity, they said, words cannot describe the beauty and majesty of heaven. It was inadequate. That's our home. It's not like here. To live each day for heaven. So I hope some of my thoughts and questions just, I pray one or two of them stick, that begins challenging you as it's been challenging me. That we have a more eternal perspective in life versus the here and now. Amen.